Good morning once more. We want to catch up and understand the five marks of a true apostle. We already saw in chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians, Paul was actually using the method of self-praise, or what you call boasting. He knew boasting was not right. He knew this method was not right, because he said that if you have to boast, you must boast in the Lord, in what the Lord has done. He said it is not fair for one to commend himself. It is only the Lord you're supposed to commend, not even the people. But he anyhow used this method because his children from Corinth had been taken by the enemies. They had been made to stop following their father. So he knew that those who compare and who use self-praise are fools. And then he said, let me be a fool like any one of them. But I want you to compare what kind of a fool is better. He is using an irony. He is challenging their thinking. He is doing what we call listening. It's a very good method. It is part of an apologetics, where apologetics is deferred for faith, or deferred of faith. And so whatever Paul is doing, the method he used, he knows is not good, but he uses anyhow, because he wants to bring the difference between true apostles and false apostles. So we have already seen the first mark of true apostles from chapter 10 is the authority of Christ. The second mark is having the conduct of God. The conduct, why are you doing what you do? Number three, we saw, is that you are willing to suffer for Christ. Paul gave a list of the things he suffered, and he said these false apostles have not come to this. They are not willing to suffer. And number four, we want to get to chapter 12. We'll be talking about having a vision for Christ, having seen Christ. Every true apostle, one of the marks of the true apostle was that he must have seen Christ personally. You must have met Christ. And now he is giving one of the occasions where he met Christ. The truth of the matter is, Paul occasionally met with Christ. In all his letters, he gave examples where he had an encounter with Christ. Not one, not two times, more than five times in the book of Acts. We can even start with the one that when Paul came to open the church at Corinth, that is Acts 18, the people of the city of Corinth were too hard on him. They abused him. They opposed him. And he removed, or he dusted on them. And this was something that missionaries would do when not accommodated. And he said, I'm leaving you. I'm going to the Gentile world. At night, the Lord met him. This is one of the meeting with the Lord. It is a mark of a true apostle. You have had a time that you met with the Lord. The Lord met with him. And he said, do not give up. Paul, I'm with you. Nobody is going to harm you. I've got so many people in this city. Continue preaching. And Paul went on for the next 1.5 years. Now, when Paul another time was going to Damascus and he was going to persecute the church, Jesus met him on the way and he bridled him. He beat him with a bridleness and he fell down from his horse and he was blinded. And then he heard a voice, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Then he asked, Who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. Then he asked, what do you want me to do? Then he was told, go to the city. You be told, you find a man called Ananias. He tell you what you must do. And Paul went to the city, and he was told by Ananias. Ananias put hands on him, and scales fell off from his eyes. He started seeing. He had fasted for 3 days. Then he was told, you are a chosen vessel. You will minister to me from the kings of the Gentiles, or from the Gentiles. I'm sending you to the Gentiles. You open the eyes so that they can see my light. You are also going to speak to the kings of the Jews and the Gentiles. And you're also going to speak to Jews. So he was sent to Jews. He was sent to Gentiles. He was sent to even to the people of Israel. And his mission was very specific. Another time that Paul met, he had a vision of Jesus, is the one that he'll be explaining here, when he had died for 14 years ago. He is giving a time that he had died, and he had gone to the third heaven, and he saw things he's not expected to speak. Now this moment he's explaining here probably was the time when he was beaten at Restra and Derbe during the first missionary journey, and he died. That's Acts chapter 14. And they left him for dead. They stoned him and they left him because he had died. According to them, they were coming to kill, and they killed him. But when brothers came around Paul, Paul rose again. Now, before the brothers came to look for him where he was dumped, his body was dumped. His spirit had already gone to heaven. So Paul is explaining an episode where he went to see the Lord Jesus. He met with Jesus. So these are three examples. There are more than five examples where Paul met Jesus. So this is that example where he met Jesus. And he's saying the fourth mark of a true apostle is that they must have a time when they met with Jesus Christ. And Paul gives how he met Jesus. This particularly, he said that the experience was so profound because he went to heaven. Jesus did not only come where Paul was. The rest of the episodes is that Jesus was coming to meet Paul wherever Paul was. But this episode in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul is the one who left where he was, and he went to see where Jesus was. And he did not only see Jesus, he saw things that anybody on earth is not expected to see. Why? Because a mind of a human being on this side of the world cannot accommodate the vision of heaven until you experience it yourself. So there are some things we cannot understand by our mind, even if you are told. That's why Paul is saying you're not allowed to say them. Again, you need to experience them yourself. So Paul says you need to have hope that one day you experience them. And hope that is seen is not hope. Hope that is explained is not hope. So Paul wanted to remain. Jesus wanted to remain unexplained because it's unexplainable, so that you would be able to hope for heaven. So because of the vision that Paul got of Jesus and of heaven, to keep him from speaking about it, Paul was given a thorn in the flesh, which he called the messenger of Satan. Let's do a small reading, just 10 verses, so that we can emphasize on this particular vision he's talking about. I've given you three, but we want to understand what is this vision and what is the messenger of Satan. Then he says, this boasting will do no good, but I must go on. He knew that he's not supposed to have self-praise, but because he will not do any good, but he says, I must go on. Why is he doing it? He wants to win back his sons. It's for the good of the sons. And he also wants to put or to crowd the enemies of his souls, the enemies of the kingdom of God. He just want to bring glory to God. I will reluctantly tell about vision and revelation from the Lord. I was caught up to the third heaven 14 years ago. Whether I was in the body or out of my body, I don't know. Only God knows. Yes. Only God knows whether I was in my body or outside my body. But I know that I was caught up to paradise and had things so astounding that they cannot be expressed in words. Things no human is allowed to tell. Praise God for Paul. He just talked about the things he saw when he went to heaven. Sometimes I'm amazed by men and women here on earth. They try to explain how heaven looks like. A mind cannot understand this. They want to mesmerize us. These things are outstanding. It's only when you experience them. Yes, there's some description of heaven, but some of those things our mind cannot accommodate. So we don't need to keep on explaining them. You're not even allowed, as Paul says, no human is allowed. That experience, you can only experience them, is worthy posting about. But I'm not going to do it. So he says, look, as an apostle, I met Jesus. It's an experience I can boast about. But he says, I'm not going to do that. It doesn't going to do any good. It is not going to benefit you. I'm not allowed even to do it. But I can talk about it because I want you to know that I went to heaven. But I won't tell you the details. I will boast only about my weakness. Then he said, instead of boasting about the things that I saw in heaven, let me boast about my weaknesses. If I wanted to boast, I would be no fool in doing so, because I would be telling the truth, but I won't do it because I don't want anyone to give me credit beyond what they can see in my life or hear in my message. You know, sometimes when we are giving our revelations of heaven, the problem is people can give us credit beyond what they see. People can take us for who we are not. People hear us speak. And I want you to know that the reason why some people just give those revelations and the elaboratory and have written about them and some things that cannot be understood by human mind unless they experience is because they want to appear great. They want people to say, wow, what an apostle. What a great man of God. I want you to know. Paul says, I would even if I boast, I'll be speaking the truth. But I don't want you to take me for what I am not. I don't want to boast beyond. I want you to give me credit beyond what you can see in me or hear from me. Even though I have received such wonderful revelation from God. So to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of God can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weakness and in the insult, in hardship, in persecution, in trouble that I suffer for Christ. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. So Paul basically is saying, I will not boast about those revelations. I do not want you to take me for who I am not. I don't want you to think or to give me credit. But then also Christ has also done something so that I don't boast. It's not by myself. It's by the power and the grace of God. God allowed a messenger of Satan, a thorn in the flesh. Thorn in the flesh. We do not exactly know what this thorn in the flesh is. We do not know. But probably When Paul was being stoned, he might have suffered some physical, disablement. He might have suffered from a problem of the eye. Maybe a stone might have hit his eye, probably. They're not told. We know there's something that had a problem in his eyes, because when he was writing, he said, I'm using large letters. We also know that immediately after the beating that he received, the man that came to him was Dr. Luke. Probably Dr. Luke came so that he could help him in healing as a doctor, in treating him so that he could continue. But you see, how could he explain that he has a vision from heaven, yet he is not able to heal himself or to cry to God for healing? Now, for he calls that a message, a thorn in the flesh. A thorn in the flesh. Something that keeps on pricking him. Something that reminds him that he doesn't need to boast. And he says he's a messenger of Satan. He's allowed by God so that he will not boast. And he begged God for 3 times. And God told him, my grace is sufficient for you. In other words, for God's grace to be sufficient, for God's grace, which is sufficient in our lives, it works well in our weakness. God's grace is God's enablement. We only be able to see God's power in action when we are not doing anything. When we stop doing anything, when we stop boasting, when we stop showing up, when we are at the lowest, thus we see God at the best. Father, we thank you because of your grace. Help us to have a mark of having seen you. Let's see you every morning. Let's meet with you. Help us to see heaven. We may not be able to explain those things, because we need everybody to get there, to have hope of heaven. But I want to thank you for the hope of heaven. Thank you for the vision of Jesus, in Jesus' name.